Coming up on this episode of the Mario Rosenstock podcast.
Did you ride for Michael O'Leary at Gigginstown?
I did, yeah.
So did you ever meet him?
And I met him, yeah.
He's on the line, actually. Say hello to him, yeah.
Hi, Michael. Well, what are you going to do at the airport?
Hold on, I have just a solution. You've given up riding horses, isn't that right?
I have, yeah.
Now, if you can ride a horse, you can just as easily fly a plane. Now, I am short-staffed this weekend. Will you get your arse in here, right? Get on a Ryanair flight and I will pay you in vodka baggies and cheese and ham paninis. Are you on for it?
On for it, no problem.
Good.
Well, she's fresh off the Dancing with the Stars dance floor, winner's trophy in hand, and has just been unveiled as the new coach on Ireland's Fittest Family. Nina Carberry is a seriously busy lady right now, so I was both surprised and indeed delighted when she accepted our invitation to join me on Me Humble Owl Irish Podcast, Be Jesus. Nina has had a stellar career in horse racing, as you're aware, and is very much in her DNA, having been born into a famous racing family and then marrying into another racing family, famous racing family, that's Ted Walsh's family. So we talk about her deep love of horses and the sport, her experience on Dancing with the Stars, her competitive and extremely hardworking nature, and tons more besides.
The rumba is like sexual. You have to get into it. You have to be sexual. And I was like, how am I going to do that, Pasquale? He was like, just pretend I'm a Ted. I'm like, how am I going to pretend you're Ted? Like, you're not. Obviously, Ted is my husband.
Ted is your husband, yeah.
So this is what he kept like saying to me, like, just pretend. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so embarrassing.
And did you pretend he was Ted?
Well, did you have to, like.
Did you?
Obviously, we don't like it happening either, but it's a part of our sport that is, it's what happens. And to be honest, I don't think they know how much the horses are looked after. I think I'd love to talk to a protester and actually come and work with us and to actually see how well they're looked after.
Nina, I'm so excited about you joining Ireland's Fittest Family. But I'll tell you something, Nina. If you think I'm going to let you win, I saw you there. You were savage on that Dancing with the Stars, young. But I'm going to leave nothing out there, Nina. I'm going to get stuck into you.
My full chat with Nina Carberry coming up very shortly. So, everyone is talking about this, guess what? This catfish GAA story by the two Johnnies. You know the one about the girl who created several different fake social media profiles in order to lure in several well-known GAA players and others, including Johnny B of the Two Johnnies. And it's fascinating stuff. They talk about it all on their Two Johnnies podcast. But loads of other podcasters have been talking about it too, including Eamon Dunphy on The Stand.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with me, Eamon Dunphy. Now, recently we heard from two well-known podcasters, broadcasters and comedians, the two Johnnies, who brought us a horrific story involving catfishing. Now, to discuss the phenomenon, I'm joined by one of Ireland's leading social commentators and indeed greatest minds, the great John Giles. Hi, John.
Hi, Eamon.
John, you were telling me earlier you had some experience of catfishing.
Yeah, Eamon, we used to do it all the time when we were kids. We used to love it, Eamon.
Sorry, John?
Great fun, Eamon. You'd find the catfish down in the Dodder, Eamon. Myself and Liam Dunn and Albert Pettigrew. You remember Albert, Eamon, when he was
No,
there?
I do remember Albert, John.
He'd know
but
where all the catfish were, Eamon. Dogfish as well. He'd know where they are as well, Eamon.
John, hold
You'd
on.
You'd get the odd pike as well, Eamon, if you were lucky. And maybe.
John, I'm talking about catfishing.
The canal was full of them, Eamon.
No, John, catfishing is an internet phenomenon where someone assumes someone else's identity wholesale, including photos and even biographical information.
Why would they do that, Eamon?
I don't know, John. That's why I was asking you.
No, you said you wanted to talk to me about catfishing, Eamon.
No, this is catfishing, John, where you assume and take on someone else's avatar.
Just one thing, Eamon.
Go on, John.
What's an avatar?
Do you know what, John?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I agree, Eamon.
Brand new and exclusive comedy every week here on the Mario Rosenstock podcast. So let's get to my chat with this week's special guest, the wonderful Nina Carberry. I'd never met her before. This was my first time meeting her. And generally when you hear a Mario Rosenstock podcast, you hear it from the very moment we basically walk into the room to meet each other. We talk about so many interesting things in this conversation, but we start at the very start. Her childhood love of horses. Horses go back to your entire, the beginning of your life, don't they? So horses have been around you since as long as you can remember.
Yeah, no, like I think my mum, I don't even remember learning how to ride. So my mum had us up in ponies like since we were two, one, you know, up in front of her in ponies. So it was natural progression, I suppose, going doing the pony route and doing all the pony racing. And then my dad was training horses, so he had a horse for me to ride in bumpers, and it kind of rolled from there, really. Like it's been always something in our family, you know. That.
So what age would you have been when you were in your first race?
16. Anyways. Oh, sorry, we did pony racing when we were, I was about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that gave me the buzz and I won it, honest. So.
And that's a proper horse.
Yeah, like they were like pony races, but they had horses in the races. So they had particular sizes that were in the races. Yeah. So, but yeah, we were riding horses as well.
So technically dangerous.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
Let's face it, especially in the modern day, 2022, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, don't let him near that horse, my darling. He'll die.
Yeah, I don't know how my mum watched me and all of us, but she did. She had nerves of steel in a way watching us, but she didn't hold us back. Anyway. Yeah.
And so it was just second nature to you, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then horses were part of your natural environment.
Yeah.
Did you love horses from as early as you?
Yeah, you definitely. I mean? Yeah, definitely had the love for horses. I'd ride my pony out and literally keep him in the garage so I wouldn't have to cross over to the yard to get him. So he'd be there all day.
And would you visit him at night and pat his nose?
I could have done.
Do you know what I mean? Were they pets in a way?
Oh, they were. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd be so sad if anything happened, any of them, you know. So.
And did you ever lose any pony through death or whatever?
Yeah,
and
just got old age. Yeah,
devastated.
Yeah, like
I sound like Miriam O'Callaghan.
It's a party.
Were you devastated when the pony died? What was the pony's name? What was your first pony's name?
Jack.
Yeah. And what age did Jack die?
About 35.
30, that's very young for a pony. And what did he like for his famous favourite snack?
He loved carrots.
Oh my god. Carrots, that is so sad. I'm crying now.
I know.
I love your hair, by the way. It's really nice. Yeah, so you'd be very close to the ponies.
Yes, we were. And we would mind them, have bandages on them and pick out their feet and, you know, all the little chores that kids love to do and oil on their feet and everything.
Oil? What's that about?
Hoof oil, kind of keeping them nice and shiny. Yeah.
No, keep the shirt. So it's like...
Yeah, manicure. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a manicure. It's like a manicure for ponies. Do you put a little red polish on?
No, we put black.
And do you shellac or?
No, I didn't quite go for shellac part because you'd never get it off. But anyway.
And you wouldn't put false eyelashes on them or anything? No.
We didn't go that far. We did the plaits.
And then, of course, Nina, apart from being a champion jockey, right, and being a legendary Irish jockey, recently, of course, you've become well known in Ireland through your association with Dancing with the Stars.
Mm.
And you won Dancing with the Stars. And but listen to this. I had Mairead Ronan on the podcast at the beginning of Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And listen to this for prophetic. Here's what she said to me at the beginning of Dancing with the Stars.
Erica's going to be in the final.
Okay.
Ellen's going to be in the final.
Right.
And Nina is going to be in the final.
Oh, Nina, yeah.
Nina's going to
win.
Yeah,
she's good.
I think Nina's going
to
win.
She's good. She's got the bottle.
She did Ireland's Fittest Family Celeb Special and they won, of course.
The power of the horse.
And when Nina did her rumba, which is the sexiest, dirtiest dance, I was praying every single week on Dance with Stars that I didn't get a rumba, and I didn't, because I just would have been Scarlet Morto Scarlet, right? Anyway, she got it, I think, week two. And I was worried for her because I had seen how much slagging goes on in her family from spending the day with them on Ireland's Fittest Family. And I was like, oh God, oh poor Nina. Oh, she's never going to live this down. Oh, I can't cope. I was nervous for her. I felt sick because it's all like rubbing yourself and you're rubbing your titties and
It's very suggestive.
Yes. Yeah. But she's a champion. Mm. That's what she is. So that just went out of her head and she went for it.
She's really did.
And then she just got high scores.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that is so funny. She's explaining exactly what it's like. It's mad. Like the rumba was a big challenge for me. Like massive.
It's so weird. It's so weird because Here's my honest opinion, right? And I know I've only met you 5 minutes, but I already feel safe in your company.
Okay.
Right, to slag
I'm
you off.
I'm not going
to
kill you.
No, you're not going to kill me. And if you do, I'll just have to go for it. But when I saw you, I went, okay, she's going to be this taciturn, kind of monotone horse racing person. Because a lot of horse racing people are.
Yeah.
And that's not said in a bad way. Their horse racing people come across as humble, quiet and hardworking.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what you would come across. And I go, oh God, how the hell could she possibly get into the rumba? She's going to go, sorry, I opt out. It's really against my personality to do the rumba. And then you just went for it. What was in you that went for it?
It was so funny.
What was
it,
in you that went like, for it?
I mean, to try and get that out of me. I don't know how Pasquale did it, but he was amazing tutor and teacher and everything, but supporter, what he was through the whole Dance with the Stars. And coming up to the rumba, obviously the quick step is all nice and lovely.
Athletic.
And jolly and, you know, everything's yeah. nice and smiley.
But not so much person, not so much like giving of your inner self.
No, no. Yeah. The rumba is like sexual, like... You have to get into it. You have to be sexual. And
yeah.
And I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, my imagine parents are
going to
be watching.
Imagine
this.
If somebody said to you at the beginning of Dancing with the Stars, are you ready to dance sexy in front of 800,000 people? Exactly.
Like, so.
So he must have got
into,
it out of
yeah,
you.
To get into that frame of mind coming into that week, he actually got tonsillitis. I was like, how am I going to do this now? And I had to do the last 3 days training with another guy who was a choreographer, Ian. And he helped me as well. But obviously Pasquale was really training me like kind of the 3 weeks previous up to this dance, and he was like, Nina, you have to just go with it, like feel. And I was like, how am I gonna do that, Pasquale? He was like, just pretend I'm a dead. I'm like, how am I gonna pretend you're dead? Like, you're not. Obviously Ted is my husband.
Ted, like, is your husband, yeah.
So this is what he kept like saying to me, like, just pretend. I was like, oh my God, this is gonna be so.
And did you pretend he was Ted?
Well, you had to, like.
Did you?
It was so funny.
You were dancing with Ted?
Yeah, dancing with Ted.
Oh, like, that's nice. That's lovely.
How embarrassed am I?
Did you tell Ted this?
No. He'd be so funny. No, but that's basically...
Well, at least you didn't say I pretended it was my pony, Jack.
No. I just had to get into the character and just pretend no one was watching.
You gave it socks. You gave it socks. And I mean, you really did. And I remember thinking, because I might keep in touch with Mairead during the thing on text, you know. And I actually remember, because... She'd know what I'm talking about here, but I remember going, did you see the back muscles on her? Your back muscles.
Back muscles.
Your back muscles. You had phenomenal back muscles.
Did I?
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. Phenomenal back muscles. Like, really good back muscles. My back muscles that other people didn't have. That must have been to do with the...
Right.
Riding and the posture you have to constantly hold for
the
years.
For the dancing as well, I suppose.
For the dancing, yes.
Yeah, because I'm not really, like... bent over.
Yeah. But you mustn't have been, you must have, was it really hard? Was it really, I mean, everybody says it's difficult. Was it tough?
Yeah, so hard. Mm-hmm. It was so hard mentally to get around. Oh my God, I had to go out and perform every weekend.
No, but I mean the training.
Oh yeah, so hard.
Like, you're talking 8 hours sometimes.
Well, to be honest, the training wasn't too bad. Like, my body was able for
it. Yeah, you're strong.
It was mentally just getting around. That was what I found the hardest, yep. of forgetting steps. And then, oh my God, like, I've done it before. Why can't I do it? And I'm after forgetting it. But then Pasquale's like, you're thinking too much. I was like, why can't I do it? And the next thing I'd skip another step. And he'd be like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. And he said, you're thinking too much. We need a break.
Exactly. Yeah. And would you work hard at it then?
Yeah, like, we worked like...
You personally, though, you were working hard at it.
I worked very hard, but Pasquale as well, because, like, he had to be there for me every time. Mm. But there was not many dances I could do on my own as well, like at home or anything. Like, maybe the Charleston I could do the steps on
Ted
my own.
Ted wasn't available now.
He actually was. He helped me with the swivels.
Did he?
But every dance was really cool to learn. Like, the Charleston, like, brilliant dance, fun, like, really got into that one.
Have you continued dancing since?
No, I actually really want to, but I didn't get a chance because I was so busy after with the horses and everything that now I think I'm meeting up with Pasquale next weekend.
Are you?
I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, so I think there's,
because I read an interesting quote from you and that did catch my eye, and it was that, tell me if this still resonates with you, but you were saying that whenever I do something in life, I've told myself I need to give it my all.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
And is that true?
No, definitely. And starting off with Dance with the Stars, I think my second night I came home crying to Ted going, I don't think I can do this. This is going to be the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And he was like, well, you're doing it now. I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to, like, really work really hard, Ted. Are you going to be able for, like... me not being there, you know what I mean? So that was hard as well, to kind of
Do you know, because I every evening I was gone. I was working with the horses in the morning, heading off, doing the training with Pasquale from like 4 o'clock to 10, 9 some nights. And that was every single night. And then I was gone for the whole weekend for practicing as well. So
but there was you, a lot. But in fairness, I don't think it would be remiss of me to say this, that, you know, the life of horses, horse riding, you know, mucking out stables, getting up at 4 a.m. to ride horses in the early dawn. Mm. It's a tough life.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a thankless life sometimes.
Yeah.
There's no applause.
No, no.
And it's smelly, it's cold, it's outdoors, you're dealing with animals. Mm. It's, you need to be driven inwardly to do it, or else you'll get found out, won't you?
Totally, yeah. And there's more downs with ups with horses, you know, especially in racing as well. So you're always waiting for, you know, that thing that's driving you along is a winner coming up, you know. And yeah, with Dancing with the Stars, it was just, yeah, I wanted to give it my all because I didn't want any regrets, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I knew if I didn't
give
it my all.
That's a really great quality though.
Yeah, but.
But you know that, like, I've often struggled with this in my life. It's a deeper philosophical thing, really. But it's the idea that it's some people are afraid to give their all.
Yeah.
On the basis that if they give their all and find out that they only got a B.
I know.
They go, fuck. It's better, right? Sometimes.
Yeah.
To go, I got a C. You know what? If I worked really hard, I could have got an A.
Yeah, no.
Oh, see your face dropped when I said that. See, that's the way I used to be.
Okay.
Right. And about...
Not doing a stroke.
Pardon me?
Not doing a stroke.
Kind of not doing a stroke, getting a half good result and then going, I could have been an A student. But a long time, good while ago, I left that behind and I went, listen, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for everything you do and don't be afraid that what you do won't be the best.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the best. It just has to be the best that you can do.
Yeah.
So I kind of want, that's why I picked up that quote.
Okay, yeah. No, definitely. That's the way I approach Dancing with the Stars, because you're so open for any type of criticism, you know. And as Mairead said in that quote, like, she was like, you're open to the whole public of complete humiliation, like of going out in front of everyone and getting, but I suppose the fear of that kind of really drove me as well. And I was like, I don't want any regrets. I don't want to get one chance at this, and I'm going to give it my all. And that's what I did. So yeah. It was great. And it worked out.
Would you freely describe yourself as a very competitive person?
I would be once I get going. Yeah.
So if you're playing Monopoly at home, you'll get angsty if you're not winning.
Yeah.
No, but that's, I'm not a messing with you.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I am, but then when I'm in...
People say, Jesus, your fear is competitive.
Yeah, like, I don't feel I am at the time, but obviously when I get going at something, I want to do the best I can, and that's the way that's I approach everything.
That's a yes, you're answering me a yes. Yeah, well, that's good. And then, of course, you're joining Ireland's Fittest Family as a team captain. Team Bannisdore, if you like to call it, or a team captain, right? And that's a new exciting departure for you.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But guess what? So you're going to join Davy Fitz.
Davy Fitz,
and have you met him?
I have. I've actually been under his coach when I was doing Dancing with Stars. Ireland's Fittest Families. We had our team for the Katie Walsh.
Oh, the
my
celebrity Bannisdore. Yeah. Ireland's
Ruby
Fittest Families.
And their brother-in-law, Killian. Yeah. So it was brilliant. We were under Davy, so
brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, you know that Davy listens to this podcast all the time.
Does he?
Yeah, he's actually in his car. I think he's driving from Clare to I don't know where he's driving from, Clare back to Limerick and Clare again. So say hello to him.
Hi, Davy. Are you ready?
Nina, how's it going? Look, it. This is Davy Fitz here. I'm in the car.
Hi, Davy.
I'm listening to the conversation there, and Nina, I'm so excited about you joining Ireland's Fittest Family. That's my show. That's my show. I hope you know it. That's my show. But I'll tell you something, Nina. If you think I'm going to let you win, I saw you there. You were savage. You were a competitor on that Dancing with the Stars yoke. But I'm going to leave nothing out there, Nina. I'm going to get stuck into you. Hell for fucking leather I am.
Okay, Davey.
I'm telling you now. And then we'd all be friends after it, sure. What?
Oh, fair enough.
See, enjoying really the conversation.
And we're enjoying it.
That's
great.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Davey. Really looking forward to it.
That is lovely. So he's a heart of gold, really.
Oh, he does.
He has passion.
Definitely, yeah.
But
a lot of passion.
Underneath it, I think there's a little...
There's a little softy there.
There is a little softy, yeah. Yeah. So you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait to get stuck in.
The other one I'm fascinated by is, as well, you're married to Ted.
Ted.
And that's who you fantasized about when you were dancing with Pasquale. And Ted... His name is Ted Walsh.
Yeah.
Because his father is also the famous Ted Walsh. Well, yeah. More famous Ted Walsh. The legendary jockey and trainer, Ted Walsh. And Ted sometimes, I've actually taken the piss out of him a little bit on the radio.
Okay.
Because he used to do the commentary with your man.
Robert.
Robert. Hello. Is Nina there? Nina. Are you there? Hi. I kind of do the formal bit.
Okay.
And then I let the kind of colour... up to Ted.
Yes.
And we employ Ted to say the politically incorrect stuff. and then Ted gets in the papers and I disappear.
You disappear.
Yeah, that's right. So, but anyway, so I was kind of wondering, it must be fun knowing Ted Walsh, senior.
He's a brilliant, he's such a lovely man. And obviously he's so... Like he puts across, he gets everyone's attention because he says what he thinks, you know what I mean? And more or less it's always right that everyone is thinking the same thing, but he's the only one that'll come out and say it. So yeah, like a brilliant, he's such a brilliant talker as well, and everyone just listens to him. He's a very great voice, and a brilliant father.
I always imagine, I was actually thinking before I did this interview, I was thinking, so Ted, you got married to Ted Walsh, which means Ted Walsh is the son of Ted Walsh. And I can imagine Ted Walsh Senior being at your wedding, and he would have been in the church, and I can imagine him doing his kind of, you know, the way the horses are going around the parade ring when you were coming. Well, there now we have Ted there coming up. Ted, he's sweating now. He's sweating up a bit there in the aisle. Ted is sweating up. I hope he performs well this evening. I'll tell you, Nina should take the stick to him if he doesn't.
No,
but anyway, Ted is there. I rode the mother in Turles.
That's one of his famous lines, yeah.
Yeah, but in this case it works.
No!
Well, it does work. He must have. Maybe not in Turles. Anyway, Ted there, he's sweating up nicely. And Nina, the arse is sticking out slightly there in the dress, but I'm sure she won't mind. She's looking well there. Would have been fun. Absolutely, Ted. Now shut up and let the priest get on with it. Come here. One of the things that I always find interesting about jockeys is the fucking weight.
I know.
Right, so Lester used to ride at 8 stone. Mm. Maybe even less. And I read a thing about him the other day, just an obituary in the Guardian or whatever. And it was like, he used to have one boiled egg in the morning and a finger of toast.
Yeah.
And that would be it.
Yeah.
Isn't that
I know.
Mad?
And
that
I think
mad?
He used to drink champagne as well to get his weight down as well. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think my dad told me that. And he used to have a bit of champagne in the sauna just to dehydrate him more.
My God.
Yeah. So
they used to drive around in a rubber suit and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're probably more up to date with how to lose weight nowadays, but they did it a different way back then.
It's fascinating. I wonder, did you have to go through that process of having to maintain a certain weight to ride horses?
I was quite lucky. I was an amateur, so most of my weights were quite heavy. But there was times when I had to do like 9'7", or I had to do probably my lightest was 9 stone, and I had to cut off a leg for that. And I would say it was wasting for a week, and I never did it again.
And when you say wasting for a week, that's eating very little?
Nothing, yeah. To be honest, would you do the sauna? I did the sauna a bit, but I was very young and I didn't realise how to do it, and I just didn't eat and I didn't drink. And sure, as soon as I took any sip at all of drink, I put on a pound. I was like, how did this after happen?
Why is that? Because of liquid, fluid?
Yeah, the body just...
The body demolishes, the fluid.
Yeah, you need to kind of nearly trick your body that you're not wasting. So...
How do you do that?
You need to keep drinking. Yeah, you need to keep drinking.
Oh, so keep drinking water.
Yeah, keep drinking. Yeah, whereas
so
I
So don't
thought,
eat and keep drinking.
Yeah, but eat kind of fruit and stuff that will run through quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you have to get a bit clever with that, which I hadn't a clue at the
My
start.
God.
Yeah, like...
Isn't that...
But nowadays they have loads of nutrition people talking to the jockeys and everything. They're a lot more up to date.
Yeah.
I went at it not knowing what to do.
Isn't it fascinating though?
Yeah.
Jesus. And that is just amazing.
Yeah, the sauna was a big help to the jockeys as well when, they'd obviously be trying to trick their bodies that they're not wasting and then have a big sweat then and be okay. They'd do the weight then, probably lose 2 or 3 pounds before race.
Wow, two or 3 pounds.
Yeah.
Flipping out.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
I know, it's mad, yeah. That's their life. And then their body probably got used to sweating, so it kind of came easier to them.
God almighty. And you rode for Michael O'Leary and Gigginstown?
I did, yeah.
Did you ever meet him? And
I met him, yeah.
What's he like?
Ah, sure, you know, Michael, straight to the point.
In like, fact, all these racing guys are straight to the point, yeah, aren't they? So Michael O'Leary meeting Ted Walsh, that'll be a funny one. You're a bit of a fucking idiot. Well, you're a bit of you know, cabbage head on you yourself. Right, I like your style. I like you as well. Do you want to go for a pint? Let's get absolutely sloshed.
Yeah, obviously, I rode plenty of winners for Gigginstown, and they were great supporters of mine. So, yeah, it was a good relationship there.
Good. He's on the line, actually. Say
Is
hello
he?
To him. Yeah.
Hi, Michael. Well, what are you going to do about the airport?
Hold on. I have just a solution. You've given up riding horses. Isn't that right?
I have, yeah.
Now, if you can ride a horse, you can just as easily fly a plane. Now, I am short-staffed this weekend. Will you get your arse in here, right? Get on a Ryanair flight and I will pay you in vodka baggies and cheese and ham paninis. Are you on for it?
On for it. No problem.
Good. Now, shut up and get on with the conversation.
Jesus, he's quite rude at times, isn't he? Mm. What's it like, if you can, try and explain to me what it's like, the sensation of riding a horse in a race, in a big race, in front of a big crowd, and feeling, try and explain to me, if you can,
the
sensation, yeah, of being on a machine like that.
Mm. Yeah, it's... I suppose I probably can relate to it with Cheltenham and kind of Aintree and stuff, where you get the buzz from the crowd as well and you hear that atmosphere. And I suppose, like, riding a horse at that speed, I've been probably doing it all my life, but for a person just to jump up, it must be terrifying, because I actually put Pasquale up on a horse and, like, I was only at walking pace and he was terrified. Like, literally did not want to trot. Like, I said, you're my grand, I'm leading you, Pasquale, don't be worrying. Mm. But, like, hated not being in control of what was going on, you know, that kind of way. And you're not in control, because they can go wherever they want. Do you know what I mean? If they don't want to do what you're telling them to do, they can just... piss off and just go off with you and run into something, or do you know what I mean? You have to bail out.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that control, you're completely, you're at their, do you know what I
mercy.
Mean? Yeah, you're going to run into something, or you're going to have a bad fall. So that's
you have to let the horse know who the boss is.
Yeah, in a kind of, I suppose, not in a hard way, in a sense that they don't feel nervousness and they know who's in control.
You have to have confidence.
Yeah. And if you don't have confidence, they feed it straight away. And
gives you a good life lesson, eh, Nina?
Yes, it does.
So you go into a let's say, meet people that you've never met before and you go, right, I'm going to show that I know who I'm about and I'm going to show that I'm confident. So, you know, to calm them down now.
Yeah.
See, I'm like a horse now, you see. I'm like, I was a nervous horse at the beginning of this interview and now I'm all... How do you do a horse? Oh, I can do the old. Yeah. Well, you did the horse, yeah. I used to do pigeons when I was young. I used to have bad asthma when I was a child.
Did you?
And I used to have to stare at the wall and try and regulate my breathing.
Oh my God.
We didn't have
inhalers.
Inhalers. And I was five and I couldn't breathe. And I used to be able to look at this.
Five?
I had to crack. There was a crack in the wall I had to stare at to try and concentrate on breathing. Yeah. And I used to hear outside, and I used to hear the pigeons in the trees, and I used to go, just copy the pigeon. And I go, I used to just listen to the pigeon doing that all the time, just to concentrate on my breathing. Yeah, no, it was terrible. It was before, like, because I was living in a farm.
And did you know when it happened? Did anyone tell you how to help it?
We were not really. We were living on a farm, and it was like, you know, sorry, I don't want to make it sound as if it was prehistoric. I didn't get an inhaler.
Right.
No. And I just ploughed through it. And then I did loads of sport and built up my chest.
Okay.
Got so out of it, yeah.
You got so, it. So you don't have it anymore?
No.
Whoa.
No.
That's mad.
No, I came back once when I was 19, really badly, and then disappeared, really.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's mad. You always had it once you had it.
No, oh, it's dormant. You always have it.
Oh, okay.
It's dormant. It's sitting inside your body.
So if you're not fit, do you have to keep yourself fit now?
No, but I built my chest up to a degree playing sports and everything that I grew out of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
And thankfully it never really came back.
All right.
So it's great. But I mean, there's 30% of people or something are asthmatics.
Yeah.
You know, Sebastian Coe, the Olympic double gold winner, was an asthmatic.
Right.
All these sports people are asthmatics.
Yeah, mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just doesn't mean you don't necessarily suffer from it.
Yeah.
It's just there with you.
It's there, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the background. But anyway, just...
Anyway.
So can you... I'm not taking the piss here, right? Just totally straight down the line.
Okay.
Is horse racing the only sport that a woman is as good and can be as good as a man is?
Yeah. There's a lot of equine...
Based sports.
Show jumping, yeah. As well.
It's dressage.
Equal, yeah.
But horses.
Eventing. Yeah. More or less, that's... What else is there? I can't even think.
They're not as...
Surfing, maybe. I can't think.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of...
Well, it's an interesting question though, isn't it?
Very, yeah.
So, for example...
We can compete equally.
Yeah, because...
If you're on the best horse, you'll win. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it brings up this interesting point. Like, my sport is tennis. And tennis and rugby. But I play tennis and I've always loved tennis. So, John McEnroe got into trouble a few years ago. For saying Serena Williams would be beaten by the 800th ranked male tennis player in the world. Okay?
Bullshit.
No, it's not.
Really?
No.
Seriously?
Yeah, he's about right.
No.
He is.
No, I wouldn't like to come up against Serena Williams.
I know, she's a brilliant tennis player.
Yeah?
But she would not be able to...
But they never tried it.
Hmm?
They never tried it, did they?
No, they've never tried it.
Why would they say it then?
You just can... You could gauge it.
Okay.
Yeah, like she would be smashed by the top 100, who are all pretty much the same anyway.
Yeah.
And there's not much difference between the top 100 and the top 200.
No.
And then when you get down into the 800, you're just talking about savage animals, like savage athletic
people.
Lads who hit the ball, absolutely leather the ball. They're just not as good, quite as good as the upper. Yeah, and they have some maybe mental issues about competition and stuff, but they hit the ball off the covers.
Oh, okay.
So he was pretty much right, 600-700.
I'm very surprised at that.
Yeah, and obviously a woman couldn't compete against a man in rugby or soccer or anything like that.
Yeah.
But she could compete in horse racing.
Yeah.
But there is an element of strength in horse racing.
Totally, yeah. There's there's so many different horses that appreciate different riders, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And not every horse wants a really strong...
So a horse can feel good with a certain rider.
Totally, yeah. Mm. And like my brother Paul was a very sympathetic rider as well, and he got the best out of a horse probably by barely be squeezing them rather than pushing them, if you get what I mean. And that'll be more of a different approach. But like, there's no way to say, no, you should definitely ride that way, you know, that kind of way. So yeah, there's definitely an element of strength in it and balance, and not... unbalancing the horse is probably the most important thing, and I suppose race riding then is probably the biggest thing.
Mm. Did you miss riding competitively when you finished?
Yeah, definitely.
Immediately, or did it take a while?
No, definitely I missed it. You know, it was something that I wanted to do because I was wanting to move on in life, and I couldn't be a jockey for the rest of my life, and had a little girl at home, and I didn't want to be racing down Patrick and then racing in Cork the next day and be literally saying hello Rosie, bye Rosie, and you know I wouldn't be home, you know, that kind of way. I wouldn't have seen her, and especially during the summer months you're racing every day, and it's just you're riding out in the morning and you're gone for the whole day.
So is that what you
is that
the aspect of horse racing that you would have missed the least?
Definitely, yeah.
Who do you think is the greatest jump jockey that you've seen? Or
I'd say my brother-in-law Ruby, with my brother Paul. I think my brother Paul was probably the most talented.
Yeah.
But Ruby was the most probably dedicated, and the two of them for me are probably my
inspiration.
Yeah, that I would look to, like Ruby's dedication and his just, I suppose, his the way he could calculate how a race would be run and everything, whereas my brother Paul would just do it naturally. It would naturally happen for him, you know, and he was just a naturally gifted rider, and I've always been in awe of him, and that's who I've modelled myself on when I was riding.
And when you think of naturally gifted rider, is that to do with I remember somebody describing Stephen Roach, right, riding a bicycle. I don't know anything about cycling, but I remember the guys and Sean Kelly and Phil Liggett and all these guys would be looking at Roach at his peak, and they'd be going, you know, look at Roach there, look at him on the bike, look at him, look at his cadence. So they'd use this word cadence, and it's his shape on the bike as he pedals. So when he pedals, how efficient is he pedaling in relation to some guys, their bodies would be moving a lot.
Yeah.
Powerful men.
Yeah.
Moving a lot though.
But there'd be move. There'd
a little bit of movement.
Yeah.
And him, all you can see is the bottom of his legs going. Right. Everything else is stiff and still and things. So it's to do with cadence.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is talent as a horse rider your ability to be able to make your body fit around the horse?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You have it in one. Yeah, Ruby was much more a jockey that rode with his leg. He rode with a long leg around the horse and really stylish in that way. And my brother Paul was completely different. He would ride quite short, like a flat jockey, and be the same but riding shorter. So yeah, completely different style, the two of them, but definitely both had the effect.
Yeah. And what about the phenomenon of women jockeys?
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
Right, you?
Yeah.
And then Rachel?
And Katie, yeah.
And Katie?
Yeah, Lisa O'Neill came along as well.
How wonderful.
Unbelievable, like, because there was a big break from Joanna Morgan and Anne Ferris, who'd won the Irish National as well from like 84 till our time. Myself, Katie, and all the girls that came at around that time, and Cathy Gannon as well, who was champion apprentice back then as well. So it was really weird that we all came at the one time, but it was brilliant. You know that we were coming at the same time, we weren't in the weigh room on our own.
So would you be cheering on those other girls when they're riding?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like,
so if you're in front of the television in a Grand National and Rachel's there, you go, go on, Rachel! Yeah. Go on, Rachel! Shut up, Ted!
Definitely.
Stop dancing, Ted! Go on, Rachel! Would you?
Yeah.
Screaming and roaring.
Yeah, be mad for her to win.
So is there a good esprit de corps, camaraderie between people in racing?
Yeah, like, obviously,
back him in their stables.
Obviously, you'd like the underdogs always to win, you know what I mean? You'd always be rooting for people that don't get the success that much, and definitely be rooting for your certain favourites as well.
Another call coming in. Brian Redmond.
No way.
Say hello.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, really, really enjoying the conversation. But can I just say, Nina, your sentences, can you just elongate your sentences very, very slightly there?
Okay.
Your sentences were a bit short in the last couple of answers. Right. You were very good at the beginning.
Okay.
Just keep your answers nice and long.
Okay.
You see, you can look into his eyes. You can see he's looking for longer answers, okay?
And I'm not giving it to
him. No, just lengthen your answers ever so slightly.
Okay.
But I think you're playing a blinder.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks a million.
That's excellent. Did this, when grabbing Dancing with the Stars, doing something, dancing a sexy rumba.
Yeah.
Then doing Ireland Fittest Families and being, you know, going to be Captain Art. You obviously decided that whatever I do now in life, I'm going to give it my all. So knowing people like I do, like you, you don't stop there. People like you don't stop there. They just give them an inch and they take a mile, right?
Okay.
So I'm just kind of going, do you have any, you're such a young woman, do you have any ambitions that you can tell me about that you'd like to do?
Oh my God, like a complete fairy tale one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Off the planet, like.
Off the planet.
No, just give it to me.
Okay, so I said to Ted last year, so I'm a massive fan of Yellowstone. Do you know the Yellowstone series that Kevin Costner's in?
No.
You don't?
I know Yellowstone Park.
No, this is like a...
Oh, shit. This isn't Yogi Bear stuff, no. Hey, boo-boo!
No, so Kevin Costner, like, stars in this Yellowstone series and...
No, I don't know it. I know Kevin Costner.
It's all to do, like, Western thing, and I would love to be, like, a cowgirl or a cow... Like, love to be in that. But that'd be my dream.
Oh,
like,
sorry. You would love to be in a drama.
Yeah.
As a cowgirl.
Like, so I'm a massive fan of this and Taylor Sheridan, who's the director and
that,
whatever.
But why that?
I don't know. I'm completely obsessed by it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You might be obsessed by things and you're just watching. You're just totally, I'm totally obsessed by it. Like, and I'd love, it's a part of horses I've never actually tried. You know, that kind of... getting in the cows and, you know, rounding them up, and it's just a complete natural thing that I've never actually...
But
I've
are you
never,
talking about acting?
Well, like, I'd like to be in it, but like, I'd just love to see... I'd actually probably love to see how it's all done.
Mm.
Do you know that kind of way? I'm just really interested because they do it so well and I'm so...
Or you could be...
I admire them for doing it.
What about if somebody said to you, you could be a stunt performer in it? Because
you
could be a great rider in it and then you could double for one of the...
Totally.
Yeah.
I'd jump on it.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad? That's my dream.
She'd love to be in Yellowstone.
Yeah. But sure, you have to have dreams.
You don't want to be a TD or anything, no?
No. Not going for that one.
And do you want to do anything further in racing? Do you want to be a trainer?
Oh, no. Well, like, I am a trainer at the minute.
Sorry,
a restricted
I didn't
trainer.
Know that. What
so,
does that mean?
Just have a few horses. I'm for myself.
Any winners?
I've had one last year in the Curragh, so delighted with myself.
What was the prize money?
I think I got 12 grand.
Jeepers. And when you get the 12 grand, is that for you?
It's for the, so
or
it's
the owner gets it.
Yeah, so I was the owner as well.
Oh, you were the owner, so you get the money.
Yeah.
It's very expensive though, isn't it?
It's so expensive. So basically, that money is just kind of kept her in training until now.
Yeah.
So, so myself and Ted, we were chatting the other night, and there was a race for in Royal Ascot. Now, she's not by no means like a superstar, but she's going to run in Ascot now. So this
your horse?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we're like...
So will that mean Ted gets to wear the big hat?
Yeah. And I get and to wear get the to wear big the frock. Dress. And yeah, so anyway.
And hang
so
out
it's
with
a bit
the
of fun. We've never, ever gone with anything like this before. So it's something new.
Yeah, you'll meet Colleen and Colleen Rooney and all the gang.
Stephen Gerrard, they'll all be there. Yeah. Wayne Rooney.
I know.
And all them.
I have to ask you one or two touchy questions.
Oh,
not about nothing personal.
No problem.
But I do have to ask you and
right. I drink my water first.
No, you can drink it as much as you want, but because actually I do. I'm not just asking them for the crack.
Okay.
I am asking them genuinely, right? So, you love horses.
Mm-hmm.
You do love horses. What do you think about people who protest about at the Grand Nationals about a horse breaking his leg and dying, or several horses breaking their legs? How do you feel about that whole thing?
Yeah, obviously we don't like it happening either, but it's a part of our sport that is obviously not inviting or anything like that, but it's what happens. And I, to be honest, I don't think they know how much the horses are looked after, you know. And I'd love to talk to a protester and actually come and work with us and to actually see how well they're looked after. And obviously when something like that happens, it's not nice for anyone. Do you know, and not just particularly the out public. It's not nice for the owner, it's not nice for the trainer, and obviously the girl or boy that looking after them, the groom or the jockey. So yeah, it's just one of those things that I'd love a person that doesn't like racing to come and actually
to come and see and fly on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. And how much we put into the whole game and yeah, it's just one of those things.
Christy Moore is on the line. Say hello.
Well, Christy, how are you?
How are you doing, Nina? And listen, I was listening to the conversation, but I heard that you enjoyed my performance there on the Late Late Show. Was that right?
I thought you were great.
Great. And were you watching it alone or with the kids or what was going on? Or were you watching it with Ted?
I was watching it with Ted,
Were you dancing away? Did you dance the rumba to my little song?
Not quite, no. I didn't think it was rumba style, but...
I think I could write an old rumba.
Could you?
Yeah, do you think I should do Christy the Sexy, sexy album?
Yeah, no,
sexy
definitely. That'd
Christy.
Be cool, yeah.
Sort of, you know, like my hips don't lie, my hips don't... Shakira meets Christy, you know?
I think that'd be good.
Doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doubly-doub
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
I hope it was okay for you.
Oh, really nice. And thank you for being so open.
Anyway, we got there in the end.
We did.
With a bit of redness.
Home and hosed.
Yeah. First past the post.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you.
And my thanks to Nina Carberry for being a sport and getting involved and taking a bit of a slagging as well. And I really enjoyed chatting to Nina, and I hope to meet her again sometime. I can't wait to see her on Ireland's Fittest Family. Should be great fun with Davy Fitz, etc. Should be great competition there. Thanks to you for listening, of course. If you do anything, please tell one other person about this podcast if you enjoyed it. Just one other person. Just say, have you heard about the Mario Rosenstock podcast? That would be great. Take it easy, take it handy. And I'll see you same time, same place next week.